there, if you're able to stand, let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Luke 8. Appreciate your faithfulness. You know, people out of town, it gets a little thin around here, but your faithfulness is a blessing to me, and I know it's a blessing to everybody else that comes, you know. And I'm not much for this casual Christianity, show up when you can or show up when you want to or something like that. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Now, you ain't going to amount to anything from the Lord like that. Not at all. Okay, so as we look at the Bible, Luke 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, sure love you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for this book that you've preserved for us, and thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that guides us into all truth. Now, Lord, help us tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I want you to go with me to the gospel of, you can keep your finger there in Luke 8, because I'm going to be going back to Luke 7, but go with me to John chapter 19, gospel of John chapter 19. I'm going to run you through some passages, try to set some groundwork here, and then I'll preach to you a little bit. I'm in John 19, look at verse 25 with me. The Bible says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Hard to find the 11 other apostles around there, but there is Mary Magdalene. You know what she was? She was faithful to the Lord to the end. And guys, that's what we want to do. We want to be faithful to the Lord till the end, whether it's the rapture or we go through that valley of death. If I count it right, and I might not have, Mary Magdalene is mentioned, number one, in all four Gospels, and I believe that she's mentioned by name 14 different times in the Gospels. As you read your Bible, for me personally, I think there's something special about Mary Magdalene. If you're possessed of seven devils, I think you got a pretty bad past. Would you agree with that? And buddy, when she got saved and she got delivered from that, she fell in love with Jesus Christ. And it changed her whole life. She is memorialized in our Bibles, and that is an eternal book, and that'll be forever and ever. And so I want to learn from Mary. Let's go back to Luke chapter 7 now. She was truly in love with the Lord. F.B. Meyer said this, "A woman's love must always find something to do for her beloved." F.B. Meyer. Well, I think it's true for men that fall in love with the Lord. There has to be something that we can do for the Lord. We are such a selfish, self-centered generation. We're always looking for another person, another organization to do something for me. Where God saves us, and now it should be, what did Paul say? Lord, what would you have me to do? Should be a whole different mindset now that we're saved, that it's not about me, but it's about the Lord and what I can do to help other people by the grace of God. So I'm in Luke 7. Let's pick up in verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees," desired him that he would eat with him. "And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I think that's a great, I want to say something, okay? Sometimes people get the idea that somebody that was a drunk or somebody that was a dope head or somebody that was a convict that gets saved, they're going to love somebody more than a young person that was raised up in church that never smoked or never drank or anything like that. Are y'all with me? Listen to me. They're both sinners. They're both headed to hell. There is no excuse for a young person raised up in church not to be head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? I think there's a fallacy going around, and there's nothing. Listen, there's probably no cleaner person I know than Pastor Matt, and I know him pretty intimately. Well, that man loves the Lord because he believes he has been forgiven much. And I'll tell you how much he was forgiven, Caleb, enough to get to heaven. You know how I was forgiven? Enough to get me to heaven. So there has to be a realization there. Now, we read the story in Luke chapter 7, and then my text in 8 is about how those women ministered unto the Lord of their substance. You know what she did? She loved the Lord. She gave herself to the Lord. And because she had already given herself to the Lord, she had willingly given whatever she had. The key that I want to point out is the willingness about it. Nobody asked her to come in the house and do that. The Lord didn't push her. Nobody else pushed her. That was in her heart to want to do something. I want to show you something. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. Keep your finger there. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. A willing heart. There's times that I did things. I didn't really have a willing heart about it, but I did it. I'm not sure that's the best way to do things, to be honest with you. Are you with me? This woman had a willing heart. That's what I want to have. I want to have a willing heart for the Lord. Where does that come from? I think it comes from a heart of gratitude. She was grateful for what God had done in her life. And she wanted to show her gratitude, show her faithfulness, show her loyalty, show her love by outward actions. Well, she didn't have much, but whatever she had, she was willing to give it to the Lord. So I'm in 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. So this is where they're getting all the offerings. Are you with me? Go down with me to verse number 5 now. The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings worked, offered willingly. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to jump. So follow with me, okay? Slide down there to verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And you go down there to verse number 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given. What's he saying? Okay, they're willing, but they also acknowledge, whatever I got, you gave it to me. Whatever I have to give, Lord, you gave it to me. So it's really not that big a deal. You with me? The willing heart is the big deal. The consecration, the love, the faithfulness is the big deal. Not that they're giving it, but that they're willing to give it. So let's go back to Matthew now, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Mary's gratitude and Mary's love for the Lord was manifested in a life that was devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what she felt? She felt like she owed much. So what did she do? She gave much. You know, I was the oldest of 7 kids, and to the best of my knowledge, not one of my brothers or sisters got saved. Not one. I came in the same household, the same education, the same parents, and the Lord sought me out. And I could take you through a litany of my brothers and sisters. Money, yes. Successful in business, yes. But I'm telling you, trouble by the acre in life. I owe the Lord an awful lot. Not just that I'm saved, but that he has blessed me with such a wonderful life in Jesus Christ. And that's what Mary's attitude was. I think many times, guys, God's people are like Jacob. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. That's not willing. That's not out of a heart of gratitude and love. That's a manipulative, that's a gypsy-like attitude. What can I get if I can get you to do this, that, or the other thing? So I'm in Matthew 26. Look at verse 11. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not. Now, what I want to do is back up to verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. And then we get to the verse I just read. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Guys, we have this little short time period that we call life. That is our time to magnify and show our love and our gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to heaven, yeah, you can sing with a chorus in heaven, but you're going to be in a glorified body. You'll have seen him. Now you do it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now we do it. Though we have not seen him, we know him. Are you with me? And so, really, what does the Lord want from us? I could say the Lord wants us to serve him. Well, could he not get angels to do anything he wanted us to do and probably do a better job at it? Sure. He just gives us the honor and the privilege. He wants us to give. He's paving the streets of heaven with gold. He really doesn't need our money, right? But giving is an evidence of your love, of your gratitude to the Lord. Does he want a reformation? Does he want us to be sanctified and separated? Well, certainly, certainly he does. But I'm telling you what, there's no substitute for God wanting us to love him. That's what God put on my heart for preaching today. I think that we sometimes have to re-examine or examine ourselves and make sure that our love for the Lord isn't running a little cold. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Let's face it, if we are honest with one another, those that we love, those that we appreciate, sometimes we get to a point that we start taking them for granted. And that's wrong. And then, you know, we hear a message or the Lord jabs us or something like that and we get it right. Well, I think it's the same thing in our life about the Lord. I want my love for Jesus Christ to be fervent, to be hot. I want him to know how much I love him. And so what I want to do is I want to look at Mary's life and see. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 28. I'm in Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. Cumbered means grieved, troubled, distracted. Cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Guys, we can't substitute serving him or doing something for him for loving him. If we love him like we should, we're going to serve him. But sometimes our love for the Lord can run cold and we're busy serving, but then it's all in the flesh. Pastor Matt said something very interesting the other night. He said about how, as a pastor, he thought it was good to keep people busy. Well, Brother Hank Thompson lived in the city of Austin. And he had a pretty large church, and he had told us, he said, Mike, when you live in the city like that, you got to keep your people busy because there's so many things to get their attention and draw them away and all that kind of stuff. But Pastor Matt said, it's not just about being busy, it's about being full of the Holy Ghost doing it. So here we got two women. Mary is all busy, or I mean, Martha's all busy about, but she's getting aggravated. Which tells you what? Her heart's not right there. She's not. It shouldn't matter what anybody else is doing. If you're doing something, it should matter what your heart is and what you think about in doing it. Am I making any sense here? And then the flesh says, well, you know, I'm getting stuck with all this work. Then don't do it. And so he said, it's not just about being busy. It's about being full of the Holy Ghost. And so I think that Mary is a good example for us. Mary sits at Jesus' feet and hears his word. So this is what I want to say. If we love him, we'll always start our day spending some time with him. And I think, listen, I think it ought to be time. And however you do it, you do it. And as you grow and as you mature, those things will work themselves out, okay? I try to get the young people. One of the greatest burdens on my heart as a pastor for young people was that they would read their Bible, and one day when they read their Bible, those black words would jump off that white paper. Now, you and I have had that happen, but there's tons of saved people. They've never had that happen. Either they're just rushing through, or they're just, you know, looking to tick off a box on their thing. We need to go to that book, and our heart's desire should be, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. You heard Pastor Matt how he was going to go read somebody the Riot Act, and he's reading his Bible, and God gives him something. He goes, well, I better not do that. Man, you ever get that from the Lord? You're always hungering and thirsting after it. And then in prayer, guys, I have a prayer list. I believe in prayer lists, but I don't think we should just run through a prayer list. I think we should spend time fellowshipping with the Lord, communing with him, telling him how grateful we are for what he has done. Guys, sometimes I'll get ruminating and I look back at all the people God brought into my life to help me. Me. I am a nobody. But God in his providence, it has been so good to me, his timing and everything like that. Are y'all with me? Well, that starts your day. Well, you start your day with the Lord. It's easy to walk with him through that day. So what I'm trying to get at is the Lord wants our love. We looked at the verses this morning, started back in the Old Testament, ran all the verses in the New Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's what he wants. He wants our adoration. He wants our devotion. He wants our unfledgling loyalty. And he wants our worship. That is what the devil is trying to pry away from God and put on himself. And when you go out there whoremongering with the world or some other thing, that's exactly what you're doing. You're giving the devil the victory and you're taking it away from the Lord. And really, you're showing you're not really that much in love with Jesus Christ. So, I'm back in Matthew 22, if you would go there with me. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, Matthew 23, 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So that's what our Lord wants. That's the greatest command it is. So if we're going to love the Lord, what are we going to do? Now, we have Mary's example. And listen to me. I have read... There's some people, they don't think that the woman with the alabaster box was Mary Magdalene, okay? Other commentators are honest, and they say they really can't pin it down, okay? Years ago, I decided I am just going to give Mary Magdalene that credit, and if I'm wrong, when I get to heaven, the Lord can straighten me out. You with me? So you know what she did. She's possessed of seven devils. There's no telling how wicked that woman was, and she was bound. She was bound by that sin. And the Lord came by, and her life was never the same because of the Lord. So what did she do? Well, first thing I want to say is she sacrificed. True love is sacrificial. You know, you talk about husbands, love your wives. If you're going to love your wife like Jesus Christ loved the church, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to sacrifice. I didn't think that got a whole lot of amens. 1 John, go with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John 4, look at verse number 10 with me if you would. 1 John 4 verse 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Mary, she got saved and then she gave her life to the Lord. Her substance, what was her substance? She had an alabaster box of ointment. And as you know, it might have taken her over a year or a year's wages, maybe a couple years to save that up. And she lavished it on the Lord. Why? Because she loved the Lord. She was grateful for what God had done in her life. So she gave her life, she gave her substance, she gave it like that. Six times in our Bible. Well, let's go there. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse number 24. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto him in Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning, following the Lord. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Six times in four Gospels, that phrase, lose your life, you find it, find your life, you lose it. Are y'all with me? That's what Mary Magdalene, she got saved and she gave her whole life over to the Lord. Dan, did you have a time after you got saved that you dedicated your life to the Lord? You remember it was a separate time from getting saved? Say that again.
I went to the altar.
Do you remember when you did that? Are y'all with me? I really believe that when you get saved, buddy, you're just the peace and the joy of going to heaven and knowing your sins are forgiven. But then when you start sitting under good preaching, you realize, wait a minute, God has a plan for me, and God wants me to do something. And that's when you come to that decision. It's not going to be my will. It'll be what God wants. I personally said, Lord, if you want to do anything with my life, never in a million years would I have thought what he'd done, but I was willing. And that's what she did. And listen, if you love him, you know what you can do? You can trust him. He'll have your best interest at heart. And when you get to the end of your life and you look back on a life that you lived for him and he guided and directed your life, buddy, you'll say, boy, that's the smartest thing I ever did, letting God guide and direct my life. But you can't, listen, you can't talk somebody into doing that, just like you can't talk somebody into getting saved. That has to come from a heart of gratitude and a heart of love to do what God would have you to do. You think about Abraham. You know the story, Abraham and Isaac, and he wanted that child, never had that child, then had that child. Then the Lord tests him. Why? God is a jealous God. And as much as God loved Abraham, and as much as God blessed Abraham, and God is the one who gave Abraham Isaac, isn't that true? But God didn't want Abraham loving Isaac more than he loved him. So he tested him. Now, of course, we know God's omniscient, so he knows everything. Abraham didn't know. And all of us, we're going to be tested in our life. Lord wants to know, are you sincerely cashed in with me? Are you sincerely yoked up with me? Are you going to follow me to the end of the road by the grace of God? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, familiar verse. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. In Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I can share my opinion with you, I really believe that the main issue in saved people's lives in the day and age in which we're living is an issue of loving the Lord. Love is strong as death. If you're wholly committed and consecrated to the Lord, what in the world would he tell you that you wouldn't want to do, wouldn't be willing to do? Well, if you're not in love with the Lord and you're in love with yourself, or you're in love with the world, then you're going to get off track. Does that make sense to you? And so I think it's vitally important for me, and I would guess if it's important for me, it's important for all of us, that we keep our love life right. Keep our hearts right. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I understand, you know, we say, you know, I love Boston cream pie, or I love whatever. Y'all with me? And I understand that. But I don't want anything or anybody to be above the Lord. So we're studying Mary and her love for the Savior. And what we see is a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to give whatever she could to minister unto the Lord. The second thing that I see about her is submission and obedience. Let's go to John chapter 14. Obedience and submission, John 14. We're living in a pretty rebellious society, are we not? They actually think there's virtue in rebellion, the culture that we're in. And there's no truth to that whatsoever, none, zero. John 14, verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Sacrifice, and then not just sacrifice, but then submission and obedience. We support Chuck Leonard. Chuck Leonard is out of Shady Acres. And I knew Chuck when he first got into Shady Acres. And he met Mark Harwood's sister. What was her name? Jennifer. And Jennifer had graduated high school. She went to a Christian school. And there was a man in the church, and he owned some kind of a sub shop. Subway. Was it a Subway? How do you know that? Huh? Oh. And so when she got out of high school, she worked in that sub shop. And so she was making money. So missions conference time would come around, and she'd pray. And she said, Lord, you know, what do you want me to give for faith promise? And she said the first year, the Lord said this. And so the second year, you know, well, what she did for 2 or 3 years is she, each year, the Lord told her to increase it substantially. Now, she was living at home, and she was working that job, so she did it. And so I forget the time frame, how many years, but then she prayed as the next missions conference was coming up. She said, Lord, how much do you want me to give this year? How much more do you want me to give this year? And he said, I don't want you to give any more. I want you. I want you to be willing to be a missionary. She had not yet met Brother Chuck. And so what she did is she made a public profession that God had spoke to her heart, and she was giving her heart and life to whatever the Lord wanted her to do. And then within the next, whatever it was, the time frame, she met Brother Chuck, and they got married, and they spent I don't know how many years in the Ukraine, and now they're down in Dallas because she gave her heart and gave her life to the Lord. That's a pretty good deal, guys. And so obedience, a willingness to please the Lord. What's that take? It takes faith, guys. We have to believe that if God says don't do something, we may not understand all the things about it, but he knows so much more than us. If he tells us we should do something, we need to believe him and trust him and do it. Why? Because that pleases the Lord. So he wants us to be submitted. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to trust in him. Let me give you another one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. So, to love the Lord is to sacrifice, and to love the Lord is to submit and obey, but to love the Lord is to be faithful. You know what God is? God is faithful. When we're not faithful, he's faithful. Well, if we love him, we want to be faithful to him. There's lots of times when you read your Old Testament, and God rebukes those Jews, and he accuses them of whoring around. And that is spiritual fornication. You with me? And that is just as serious as physical fornication or physical adultery, but it cuts God to the heart because we're stepping out on him. We want to be faithful. God is faithful. Talk about fidelity. We're living in an age Guys, when I was a kid growing up, divorce was not talked about. People, it just didn't happen. Do you understand what I say it didn't happen? I know it happened, but it was behind the scenes and it was very rare. But nowadays, it's unbelievable. And it's in the church. I know second generation Christians. When I say second generation, I'm talking about like my children, okay? So Pastor Matt and Miss Christie's and that generation, I'm telling you, there's that generation around this country in independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist churches, there is divorce going on in the younger people's lives like crazy. Now, and listen to me, some of them stay in the church. So now this one's married to this one, and that one that was married to that one, that one's over there. And you talk about confusion. And I had a preacher say this, and it was his church, and there was 300 people in that church. And just the preacher's sons, I think there was three of them. One was divorced once, one was divorced twice, and the other one was working on his third divorce and remarriage. Raised in a good home, good home. Are you with me? This is what he said to me. He said, Mike, there is a spirit of divorce going through my church, and it's wreaking havoc with God's people. Listen to me. If you don't have a walk with God, if you don't stay in that book, you can get pretty aggravated with people. I have trouble not getting aggravated, and I try to stay in the book and pray. Are y'all with me? Amen. There's no excuse for a lack of faithfulness. I've shared with you before, Nan and I, you know, we got saved and we knew that we weren't living right. And so I asked her to marry me and she said she would. And then I told her this. I said, I don't want to have a marriage like my parents. My dad was a whoremonger. My dad broke my mother's heart. My mom was a virgin when she got married. My mom was faithful to my dad. And she put up with a lot. And dad, he's just a whoremonger. And I told her, I said, I don't want to have a marriage. I don't want to have a home like my parents. And she said, as soon as I took a breath, she said, Mike, I don't want to have a marriage like my parents. Cold and distant and stuff like that. What did we know? What did I know about Christian marriage? I got saved in March. She gets saved in April. We get married in June. I knew nothing. I didn't even have a clue. Being raised the way that I was raised, the idea of getting married was this humongous responsibility. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not just some light thing I thought about. And Nan and I were talking about this the other day. I was 22 years old. I was getting ready to graduate college. I had been dating her for 2 years. The idea of marriage and having children was not on the radar. Are you with me? Nothing at all. Because I knew that there is a great responsibility as a lost person, a great responsibility that comes with marriage. You get married, you don't just continue on your merry way that you were as a single person. I mean, now there's a yoking up and all that kind of business. Y'all know that. And I said all of that to say this. Because I got saved and got in that book, God changed my heart. And then I saw the joys of being married and having children and raising a family and serving. Are y'all with me? God will change your outlook on everything, and then he'll help you by the grace of God. I often, and I'm not ashamed of this, I will bare my heart to you younger people because I would like for you to miss some of the potholes that I hit in my early marriage and avoid some trouble and some trials and some whatever. And so God wants us to be faithful. Should be faithful in your marriage. You should be faithful in your Bible reading. You should be faithful in your church service. Some people can lay out of church for nothing. That's not showing your love for the Lord. Good night of living, people. We need to be committed. Mary, I don't think Mary would have laid out of church just because she wasn't feeling too good. I want to give you another one. When you talk about consecration, talk about faithfulness, love is really having our attention. When we go to that book, God should have our attention, and he should be able to talk to us. When we come to the house of God and we hear preaching, and this is another pet peeve of mine. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having preachers that you like. But wherever you go, when you go to church and a man stands up and preaches that book, it doesn't matter about the man. It matters about the message, because the message comes from the Bible. And God's message is to you, and whoever's delivering it, he is just the mailman. But God's people, they'll amen their favorite preachers. They'll clap for their favorite preachers. And then somebody gets up, and he's preaching the truth, but they don't like his personality. And they sit there like a lump on the log. They wouldn't amen. They wouldn't say yes. Are you? You don't amen the preacher. You amen the preaching. So we need to keep our hearts right about that. And so what she did is the Lord had her full attention. Mary, Martha's sister, she sat at his feet. She listened to him. Remember Samuel, that little boy? The Lord's calling him, and he kept thinking it was Eli. He had his attention. The Lord should have our attention on a regular basis, guys, for whatever he wants to do. Back there in the garden, God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. So I will make him and help meet for him." So what did he do? He took a rib out of his side and he made woman. Well, it's not good for God to be alone. So the Holy Ghost is seeking out a bride, and he's taking that bride out of his side where he shed his blood to pay for our sins. You know what the Lord wants? He wants our love. He wants us to love him. Whatever we do, going to the nursing home, knocking on doors in the weekends, putting your faith promise in, working with the kids, teaching Sunday school, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, we ought to do it because we love him. And because we love him, we should want to do the very best job that we could. Amen? Remember what he said to Peter? "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" He goes, "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." "Peter, lovest thou me?" "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." Peter, the third time. "Peter, lovest thou me?" I think sometimes he looks at us, and sometimes in our heart strays or whatever might happen, and I think we should be hearing the voice, the Lord talking to us, whoever we are. "Lovest thou me more than these?" So we have this little span that we call our life. And this is our opportunity to prove to the Lord God in heaven, who died for us and shed his blood for us and saved us, "I love you, Lord." Y'all with me? I'm sure I've used this, and I'm sure that you remember, but Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher over in England, he used to smoke cigars. And he was walking down the street one day, and there was a big billboard, and it was advertising a brand of cigars. And what they did is they had a big picture of Spurgeon on the billboard smoking one of their cigars. And it was, "Smoke the cigar that Charles Haddon Spurgeon smokes." He said he looked up at that billboard, and he said the Holy Ghost convicted him. And he says, "You want to be known as the man of England, of London, that smokes such and such a cigar?" He goes, "No, Lord. I want to be known as the man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said he went home and he got rid of his cigars and got in touch with the cigar company, said they couldn't use his image and things like that. He did not want to be identified. He wanted everyone to know how much he loved the Lord. So I hope today, as we came to church this morning and tonight, that we would just be encouraged, that we stay on the track of being faithful to the Lord, willing to sacrifice, submitted and obedient, and consecrated until we take our last breath. I don't know if I shared this with you, But the last time I was with Brother Phil Dunn, he was in a bad way and in and out and everything. And he went like this to me, and Robin said, "Mike, he wants to say something to you." And I got right up to his lips, and he said, "I'm still at my post. That's what I want to do." We have had a good start. We have had a good run, but it's not over. We don't want to put it in neutral. We want to keep our hearts right with the Lord and keep pressing on for Him. Let's pray.